Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Shalom, saints. Man, I'm so thankful to be here sharing with you. And I want to thank you all for being here, not just those that are here in the sanctuary, but also those who are tuning in on iChurch. And tuning in iChurch in Spanish. We are so thankful that you have joined us this morning. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, there is an area on your screen in iChurch towards the top where you can let us know. You can contact us and let us know how this ministry has been a blessing to you. Amen. So we've been talking about knowing. And it's so beautiful because last week, the apostle stepped in and dropped, that was last week, and dropped some knowledge. And his message was entitled, You Know. And I'm so thankful that we are connecting, we are knowing, we're connecting with the knowledge. And so turn to John, the 8th chapter. Yohanan, if you are a Hebrew scholar, we love the truth. We love being a truth seekers, and that's why you will hear me and the ministers and apostles, we all use the name of our Savior, his true Hebrew name, which is Yeshua, which means he will save, he will deliver. That's his name. I cannot say it enough, can I, saints, because that's a part of the knowledge. The name Jesus did not come until 1611. We know our Savior was walking this earth over 2,000 years ago. So what were they calling him? 2,000 years ago, well, we found that they're calling him Yeshua. They called him Yeshua. And his name actually means what he came to do. He came to deliver and save the people from their sins. Anybody been saved and delivered because of Yeshua? Amen. So we love that truth. So if you turn to John or Yohanan, his Hebrew name, the 8th verse and the 30th, the 8th chapter, the 30th verse. And it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. This tells me a couple of things. Just this. The word goes forth, and many believe on him. Many say they believe. But we are finding through this truth seeking, through this knowledge seeking, that you have to demonstrate that you believe. You have to show that you believe. It's not just enough that y'all talk it. You know, I've met so many people, and I will say this, I'm taking his line. He would say this many times. He says, I've been around the world twice and saw everybody three times. Oh, you've been around the world three times and saw everybody twice. Same thing. He's been around. And every time we go around and meet people, everybody says, I'm a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian too? Yeah, I'm a Christian. But are we demonstrating? Are we showing? So I'm gonna break down a few words today in the time that I have. And I don't usually break down every word per word per word, but we are on a search for truth. And so we're gonna have to break this down. Tell your neighbor we gotta break it down. And that's what's so beautiful about the Hebrew is that it breaks it down. And so when we go to John 8, 30, it says, I expect these words, many believed on him. Then Yeshua, then says Yeshua to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So there is a demonstration, not just that you're sitting there believing, you say, but you're going to have to continue in the word. You're going to have to continue to believe. You're going to have to continue to do the word. It's going to have to be demonstrated in your life. Then, somebody say then. Then something is manifest. What's manifest? I'm a disciple. Or as we say, discipleship. We are disciples what? Indeed. Ask your neighbor, are you a disciple? You know, I'm just saying. Don't answer just yet. Because we got to demonstrate this. And so, in the beauty of this, this is what Yeshua is saying. And the 32nd verse says, and you're going to do something when this is manifest. You're going to know the truth. And the truth shall make. People like to say, set you free. No. The word says, make. It makes you. It manifests freedom, right? Who wants to be free? Well, you can only be free if you're receiving the truth, right? We can't be free if we receive a lie. Amen. And so the fact about knowing is that the Hebrew concept of knowing is that when you know something, you own it. It becomes a part of you. And so we can say, you shall own the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. And so we found that knowing comes from genosko, which is a Greek word, and it means a knowing that comes from having a relationship. You got to have a relationship. A lot of people come to church because of religion. A lot of people come to church because of tradition. Well, my grandmama went to church, so we went to church. But are you having a relationship? It's not about daddy, ain't about a mama, ain't about a granny, mama too, or what y'all call them, nanos. It ain't about Ray Ray and who? Bay Bay. And their experience, it's about your experience. Tell yourself, it's my experience. So it's your relationship, and you ain't got no relationship, you know, if you're not knowing. You got to know the Savior. And that's what's so beautiful about knowing his name. Finally, it's like, if you want to know, he'll reveal it to you. And so we were calling him a name, but it wasn't the true name. But once we found out the true name, and then his name meant what he said he would do, and that was manifest in our lives, then we went to a whole nother level.
Amen.
A whole nother level. Because now we know the deep things. And so let's go to Hosea, or in the Hebrew, it's what? Hosea. So we go to Hosea, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse. Tell yourself knowledge is important. Because when we get to this, if you don't know nothing, you get into a whole lot of trouble. And when you go here to Hosea, or Hosea, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse, it says, my people. Well, who's his people? You. And it says, something happens to my people. My people are destroyed. What? My people are destroyed. So he's talking to church folks. Church people are destroyed? How are we destroyed? From the lack of knowledge. And it says, if that happens because you have rejected it. And it says, I will also reject you. So if you reject knowing him and obtaining his knowledge, he's going to reject you. And it says that thou shalt be no priest to me. What? Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim, I will also forget thy children. So you're not going to be a disciple. You're not going to be a priest. You're not going to be of any use to him if you reject his knowledge. So last time we were together, and I got to get this in, we looked at what destroyed meant. Were you ready for that? So when we looked at destroyed, it is the Hebrew word dama, D-A-M-A. And our people are destroyed. You might think, oh, it means we're going to die. You know, my people are dying. You know, they're, but it's deeper. Say it's deeper. Well, when we look at destroyed, my people are destroyed. My people are dama. And dama means to be dumb or silent. So what you're demonstrating, if Yahweh has transformed your life and he set you apart and he sanctified you and he's redeemed you, then you should be able to articulate that deliverance. You should be able to speak that deliverance, and that deliverance should be demonstrated in your life. You should be able to tell somebody what he did, how he did it, and how he was a deliverer and who delivered you. But if you are not obtaining the knowledge, you are destroyed, because it says a demonstration of one who has been destroyed is that they're dumb. Let's get something straight. This is not my definition. I did not create the language. I did not write my own sentences. I studied the word in Hebrew, and this are the definitions that came up under Dhamma. So don't get twisted like I'm talking. Yeah, he said I was dumb. No, I did not say you were dumb. But what I said was, I said what the definition was. And the definition says, a manifestation of you not obtaining the knowledge is that you act dumb. Meaning that you don't know. You're not. When somebody say, well, how were you saved? What happened in your life? Well, I don't know. Let me call my pastor. When somebody says, well, why should I have the Holy Spirit? Well, I just got it, but I don't know why I got it. Let me ask my pastor. Well, why do I need to be baptized in water in the name of Yeshua for sin remission? Why do I need to do that? Well, I was baptized. I don't know why. I just stepped in the water. Well, you just stepped in the water? Well, you can step in your bathtub. That's water. You can step in somebody's pool, a jacuzzi. Why did you get in the waters of baptism? Everybody should know. When you go down in them waters, it's just like Yeshua when he was died. And when he rose again in victory, when you come out of that water, you rise up a new man, a changed person, transformed. That's what happened to you. You should be able to tell somebody.
Well, I don't know. What happened? I was wet.
Well, that means, sadly to say, you haven't stuck around long enough to obtain the knowledge. So when you obtain the knowledge, then you won't be dumb. Maybe you are on a job and you've been on that job for 10 years, 5 years, but nobody knows you're a believer because you've been silent. Well, when you don't have no knowledge, you get quiet. Why? Because you ain't got nothing to say. So therefore, you're being destroyed. And it's demonstrating in your silence. So believers, if you are truly obtaining the knowledge, you should be opening your mouth. You should be telling somebody. You should listen. I ain't asking you to be like us and go through the Bible and render scriptures and stuff. Tell your testimony. Open up your mouth and tell somebody what you've been delivered from. What was ailing you and how he delivered you. But we got believers that are supposed to be telling their testimony. They silent. Well, you're being destroyed. What is another thing? Maybe you can't seem, we got believers. We ain't talking about people out in the world. We talking about believers. Maybe you got confusion all in your life and you seem to be failing at everything. And you was like, well, no, I don't know why I can't get no victory. I don't know why I can't get over. I don't know why I'm struggling. Well, a demonstration of that is that if you're in Dama, you're failing. So if you're living a life of failure, evidently you're being destroyed. And why are you being destroyed? For the lack of what? Knowledge. Perish. Well, the stuff I got just seems to be disappearing. Everything just seemed to be what? They're evaporating. All the blessings. Well, I said this last time I was with you. Y'all get up in here. You start living the life. Yahweh blesses you. He starts supplying needs. Matter of fact, he's not just supplying needs anymore. He's putting you in the overflow. You got more than enough. You are living in the abundant life, right? And then you start getting happy and say, well, now that I got everything, I'm comfortable. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't need to go to prayer tonight. I'll go to prayer next week. Bible study. It's day in Long Beach now. It's too far. Check this out. You wasn't even coming when we were in L.A. So where we need to be, next door to you? Excuses. I don't care where we are. We in Timbuktu. Yahweh put us here. Yahweh put us in L.A. We were ministering in L.A. You wasn't coming. Now we in Long Beach. For some of y'all, it's closer. You still ain't coming. And then you wonder why failure is present. You wonder why you're perishing. It means to be cut down. Whoa. You had a job, but you stopped giving Yahweh the praise. You stopped giving him the glory. And it's not that, let's get something straight. He's not cursing you, because the Bible says that I've placed before you blessings and cursings. And he told you, you choose. He said, choose blessings. Tell your neighbor, the word says choose blessings. What does choosing blessings mean? Choosing knowledge, choosing to worship him, choosing opportunities where the word is going forth, choosing places and times where the people of Yahweh are gathered together in unity on one accord, where blessings and overflow can fall down. Did you feel the overflow in the house this morning? Yokes are broken in that atmosphere, right? But if you don't receive that, you cut down. The next one is what? Cut off. To be undone. To cease. That is what happens when we don't obtain and receive the knowledge. Our people are destroyed. And so I want you to turn to here. Let's go to, we're going to go to Acts 17. But before I do that, I showed you guys some Christians. And I'm trying to locate. I love the word locate yourself. Because when you demonstrate things, when you say stuff, when you do stuff, when you put yourself in certain situations, you locate yourself. Meaning you let everybody know where you are and where you're standing. And so we got what's called cultural Christians. And cultural Christians, this is a description. I'm going from the least to the greatest. Cultural Christians have little outward righteous behavior or attitudes. Little. They're God aware, but, and notice I'm not saying Yahweh because they're not even walking in God. So they don't even know his name. They're aware of God, but they have little personal involvement with him. They do not view Yeshua as essential to salvation, and they affirm there's many ways to God. Oh, you can still have Buddha and be nice to a great person, and you can still go to Krishna and Buddha. Somebody said, what? Nope. You can still believe that there is a higher power or something greater than myself. I don't know if it's God or what, or a higher consciousness, but. And it says, you favor this universal thing. Well, you know, God is everywhere. I can go to the beach and experience God. I don't need to go to your church on Sunday. I can just go to the beach and walk on the sands and feel the hotness between my toes and he's there. Wow. Well, is that you? Then we have private Christians. Private Christians are, you know, they are one of the largest segments. They believe in God and doing good things. Well, I do. I go down to the mission, and I wash the people's feet, and you know, I feed them. But you know, I'd rather do that than go to church. Well, does the word tell you to? He said, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, especially when you see this day approaching. Forsaking assembly means not coming to the assembly where people are gathered. I believe in God and doing good things, and they may own a Bible, but they don't read it. They have spiritual interest, but not within the context of the church. They're not serving. They're not doing anything. They're not usher board, or they're not singing, or they're not working with kids. They're not serving. Are you serving? It should be demonstrated. Only about a third attend church at all, and almost none are church leaders. They're not working in the church. Guess what? Yeshua was a servant. He served. Right? Is that you? Professing. Well, they believe that salvation comes through Yeshua. They got wet, maybe. They got baptized. But they focus on a personal relationship with Yahweh and Yeshua, but they have similar beliefs to active believers, but different actions. But active believer is a little higher than that. They have similar beliefs, but different actions. That means that their life is not demonstrating the transformation. They say, oh, I believe and yeah, I go to church, but is it demonstrating their life? They're less involved in church, both in attending and serving. There's a less commitment to Bible reading or even sharing their faith. They don't read the word and they don't share the word. And they may pray when things are not ideal. So when they start having problems, they'll call the church. Can you pray? What's the prayer hotline? Y'all got prayer? Because I ain't got no job right now. Y'all got prayer because this is going on, but where were you prior to the situation arising? Is this you? Oh, it's quiet in here. What's going on with y'all? I mean, you know your walk, right? I'm not judging. You ain't got no business judging. No, I'm just saying it like it is. And somebody gonna say, yeah, you looked at me when you said professing. Look, check. I'm doing a general scan of the audience, okay? I'm looking at everybody. And I'm just asking a question. But guess what? I don't have the answer. You do. Because you know what you're demonstrating and what you're not demonstrating. You know. So is this you? Now we got, and I don't use the word, I don't necessarily like using the word believers because Christians, because everybody says they're a Christian. But then I got these people right here, and they are the active believers. What's a demonstration of the active believer? They believe that salvation comes through Yeshua Mashiach. Oh, they're committed. And they read the Bible. They read the word. They accept leadership positions and they're serving. They invest in personal faith development through the church. They feel obligated to share their faith. And they have a healthy prayer life. They're praying on a consistent basis. They're coming to Bible studies. They're learning. Check this out. I got some people who come to Bible study and they take notes. They take better notes than me. And I'm teaching Bible study. Are you just coming or are you actively? Come on, participating. Are you actively saying, hey, I got to apply this to my life. Hey, I got to do this. Hey, I got to receive this. Is this you? Are you on that level? And you might say, it don't take all that. Y'all, this world got some crazy stuff going on. And you need to come to Bible study because I'm doing a special Bible study. It's going to be called Media 360. And it's going to talk about what's happening in music, what you're hearing. And this, and I'm guilty too, because some stuff I hear and I'll be like, oh yeah, you know, that's kind of nice. It sounds like the words are pretty decent, you know. But then the Holy Spirit said, investigate that. And I investigated it. I'll give you a little taste. There was a song that says, I can't feel my face when I'm with you, but I like it, whatever. Have you heard that? I can't feel my face. Yeah. You know, you hear it in the stores and stuff, and you know, you go to the store, it says, I can't feel my face when I'm with. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool because he's smiling so much that his face is numb. He can't feel his face. I mean, you know, yeah, that's what a person that on the surface would think, oh yeah, that's cool. He's smiling because there was a friend of mine and his wife was in the car and she was like, oh, sweetie, can you feel your face when you're with me? And he said, yes. But she was like, well, I don't want you to feel your face. Because this dude is saying, I can't feel my face when I'm with you, but I like it. Well, come to find out, he was talking about getting high in drugs and coke. Because if you're in a euphoric high, you can't feel your face. And then I went and broke the words down and I discovered there was some other stuff in there. And I was like, man, because somebody was getting ready to say, turn it into gospel. Yeah. I just love my praise when I'm with you. You know, people will do it. But homeboy was talking about drugs and getting numb. Now I can't even, it's like when that come, I'm like, before, though it's like, hey, you know, that's kind of popping. You know, we can sample that. But what it's doing is, it's saying, I know that this is not good for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. And it says, and I know she'll be the death of me. But at least we'll both be numb. He said, I know that I'm gonna die from this, but at least we'll both be numb. Wow. But it sounds cool. It sounds kind of Michael Jackson. It's like, hey, you know, if he was here, he would sing that. But if you're not coming and obtaining the word and getting the knowledge, that stuff is going to get in your spirit. And you go and you start letting stuff slip in. And then you're wondering why things are going on in your life. It's because you didn't have your armor on. And that's what we're talking about. Talking about the breastplate of righteousness. Talking about the helmet of salvation. Talking about the sword of the spirit. You got to be armored up to get through this life. Because if you're not, you're not going to make it. The enemy's trying to slip stuff to you and subliminally get to you. And he's doing it too. He almost got me. Our next praise playlist might have had a little sample of that in there. I mean, no, I'm just saying. If I had let the okey-doke me, then I would have brought the okey-doke to the church, and you would have been doped. But praise Yahweh, I got my armor on. And he almost slipped in. But don't look at me crazy, because you done already slipped. He almost got me, but he got you already. Because the word of Yahweh says, the righteous scarcely make it in. So we got to be on watch. So that's what we've been talking about. Where my Bible study people at? Yeah. And so let's go to Acts, the 17th chapter, the 10th verse. What makes you, you say you're a believer. Wait, take off the screen for a second. You said you're a believer, right? And bottom line is, what makes you different? What sets you apart from all the other people that are professing Christians, that are universal Christians, right? What makes you different? Because let me tell you something. When you open your mouth and say that, they done already placed you in one of them other early categories. Because they done seen so many hypocrites. They done seen so many people that say they go to church and then they doing other stuff. They club in. They breaking it down. They dropping it like it's hot. Somebody dropped it last night. I know you did. I know somebody dropped it last night. Somebody got low last night. Somebody did. Right? So what makes you different? You can meet Christians at the club. Did you know that? Y'all sitting up there tossing up the drinks and, you know, you got the, you taking it up to take it to the head. And it's like, ooh, I can't do too much. I got to go to church in the morning, girl. I got to get my praise on, you know, because I got to lead worship. They chose me to lead worship tomorrow, girl. I got to get this on. So I got to take it easy. But that's what happens. It happened. So what makes you different? Let's go here. Acts 17 chapter, the 10th verse. And it says, and the brethren immediately sent away. Because let me set this up for you. You had Paul, which his Hebrew name is Shaul, and you had Silas, and they were traveling. They were demonstrating being believers. How did they demonstrate that? They were going to different places telling people. They were going to different places sharing the gospel. And they was on foot. You got a car and you won't even share the gospel. They were walking, right? They didn't even have a donkey to ride on. They was walking a lot of these places. Because they had, we talked about it in Bible study, they had a zeal. Zeal means you just got this supernatural urge to share and to tell and to get that word out. He like, oh, he delivered me, y'all. You got to know what he did for me, right? They had a zeal, so they were going around telling people. And so they went a lot of places. A lot of places, people said they believed the word. Because remember, Yeshua said, you know, many believed on him. And he had to set them straight. He was like, yeah, y'all say you believe on me, but if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. So what was going on? They saw different Christians and believers in these different places. So it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Say Berea. Berea. This was a place. And it said, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews? So they went to Berea. Well, who do you think that you're going to find in Berea? Somebody say Bereans. So these were Christians that lived in Berea, right? And so what's the next verse? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. What? What do you mean these were more noble? These Christians were more noble than the Christians in Thessalonica. Because there were some folks that said they believed in Thessalonica, but they weren't demonstrating. But then when they went to Berea, they found these Bereans. And what set the Bereans apart from the Thessalonians? Well, we're about to find out. Why did they call them noble? Well, noble means higher-minded. They understood their royalty, right? And so it says, let's go to the verse. They understood their royalty. Do you understand your royalty? Do you know that you're a chosen priesthood? A holy generation? Do you know that you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you know that you serve Yahweh Almighty, none beside Him, the great I Am? Did you know that you serve Him? Did you know that you are descendants of Him? You are His children. No. Because they don't seem to understand that they're the children of the Most High Yahweh. Who understands that you're noble, that you're royalty, that you're children of the Most High? You got to understand that. So therefore, these dudes, they were more noble. Well, it's not Yahweh making a difference. It's the people that are coming in contact with these people. They're saying, these dudes got more going on. Why? It says they received the word with all readiness. So this is where I need to break it down. Just give me a few minutes to break this down to you. They received the word. Well, let's find out what received means. Received, the Greek word is dekomai. And it means that they grabbed hold of the word. They reached out and they grabbed it and they pulled it in. That's what it means. They received the word. Let's go back to the scripture. They received, they decomied the word with all readiness of mind. Well, what does readiness of mind mean? Well, the Greek word prothymia, it means a willing mind with zeal and eagerness of spirit. So I submit to the church. The word is going forth right now. It's not my word, it's His word. Are you receiving this word with readiness of mind? Are you ready to act with zeal and apply this word to your life? Because if you are, then you're a Berean. And what we're trying to find out is what made these guys different. Let's go back to the scripture. And not only did they grab hold of the word and bring it in with zeal, they searched the scriptures. Wow. A Berean does what? Search the scriptures. Well, let's find out what search the scriptures mean. The Greek word anakleno means to investigate, to examine, to discern. And who got the Holy Ghost up in here? Who got the whole? So when that word goes forth, and if you are allowing the Holy Spirit to penetrate your life, when that knowledge goes forth, your spirit says, oh, yes. Your spirit says, I received that, and I'm ready to act on that, and I know that is true. So are you searching the scriptures? Right? Go back to the verse. And it says they searched whether those things were so. And the 12th verse says, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, and not a few. These, they were taking it. Say they were receiving that word. You got to receive this so that it can be manifest in your life. And let's go to 13. This is what happens when you do that. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of Yahweh was preached of Paul at Berea and the stuff was going on and people were getting excited, they came thither also. When you take that knowledge with you and you share that knowledge, you stirring folks up. Yahweh is using your testimony. Yahweh is using the words that go forth in the word, and those words, when they are manifested in your life, they start stirring folk up. When I hear about what Yahweh did for Scott, and how he delivered him from drugs, alcohol. He was at the hotel. He was at the motel. He was at the Holiday Inn. And Yahweh cleaned him up and set him on a rock and made him a minister of the gospel. I get stirred up. When I hear when people have been healed and when people have been delivered, and that transformation has taken place. They're no longer addicted to crack. They're no longer addicted to sex. They're no longer on the street. Yahweh has transformed their lives. When I hear that, it stirs me up. But what he's saying is that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If he's been a change in your life, say so. If he's done something for you, say so. If he's raised you up, say so. If he's healed, whatever he's done, he's given you back your peace of mind. You was going crazy, and now you are stable. Say so. Just get the Bereans in the house to say so. Hallelujah. We gotta start letting this word penetrate our lives. We gotta start sharing this word. We gotta start demonstrating this word. And we'll look further in the scriptures next week. But I'm telling you, you need to start dropping in on the Bible study, because it's going to deliver you when you're at the supermarket and the devil's trying to get up in your head. It's going to deliver you when you're sitting in the car and you got the radio on. It's going to deliver you when you're at home watching your TV and they're trying to put stuff into the TV. And what I mean by that, anybody watch some of the shows lately? Somebody, real quick. Can I say somebody? Yes, I'll say somebody. Was telling me that they were watching Tyler Perry. There's a show that Tyler Perry's doing. And then after that show goes off, a new show comes on called If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't, what? Want to Be Right. So the person was watching the television, and they said, well, I'm watching Tyler Perry's show, but since it's on, let me just watch If Loving You Is Wrong. And they watched Loving You Is Wrong, and it was about two couples, and they had moved in close with each other. Somebody said, mm-hmm. And I think that one couple, the wife and the husband, and the other wife and the husband, and basically the gist of it was that this husband came over here and was messing with this wife. Am I right? Okay. Well, y'all just located yourself. But it's good. Because sometimes we watch this stuff and we're like, why are we? Because what happens is that if you are ever in that predicament, you might just think about the show. And the show said, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be. But there was a song like that too, right? Who knows the song? Who sung the song? The apostle said, you're not going to let me locate you now. You're not going to tell me that you know the song. But I listened to that song as, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Being wrong means being without you. I'd rather live a... I'd rather live a wrongdoing life. Ricky, you just located. But wait, check it out. He said, I'd rather live a wrongdoing life. So then when something comes your way, you thinking, hey, well, I don't want to be right. And that gets in your spirit. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because, you know, it can get in my spirit too. I know. So please, I need you to start demonstrating the Berean mentality. He needs some Bereans. It said the Father is seeking those that are going to grab hold to the word, bring it in and apply it to their life. Bow your head. Father Yahweh, thank you for your revelations. Thank you for what you are manifesting unto us. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is light unto our pathway. It is your segula. It's a treasure. And right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, we want to receive that treasure into our lives. We want to demonstrate that. And so right now, minister to us, Father, by your word and by your spirit, the importance of letting the word saturate us, transforming us, that we have all readiness of mind, that we're ready to receive and apply and demonstrate and share. Use us in a mighty way. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. I want to extend an invitation. Salvation is real. Transformation is real. We know it's real. We have not seen a life that Yahweh cannot fix, that he cannot heal. And so if you hear the word and it has ministered to you and you desire to start that relationship, that knowledge, that genosko that comes from a relationship, well, the relationship must come first. So right now, if you want that relationship and you want us to pray for you, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. We'll pray that that be manifest in your life, that relationship that transforms and takes over, changes your situation. Just raise your hand. Maybe you had a relationship, but you're not as close as you used to be. And you've kind of drifted away and you're saying, you know, I need to get back to where I need to get back to that relationship. Well, it can happen today. You can reestablish it. You can be restored. You can be regenerated. You can be refreshed. You can be renewed today. And if that's you, raise your hand and get that today, that renewing, that changed life. He can do it. He can do it. And maybe you guys say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I stand. I'm not sure where my relationship is. I need clarity. We can pray for clarity today, that you will understand and you will get the answers that you seek. If that's you, raise your hand and we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Just want to ask one more time. Maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit, that power, and you know that there's something missing, there's something lacking, and you want that missing ingredient. You say, I need that Holy Spirit, I need that power, that zeal. Raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Amen, that's one. Want it. Receive that. Okay, just keep your head bowed. And we have people bow their head for several different reasons. One reason that we don't want people to be distracted. We don't want anything to keep.